The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, June the 4th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news in Tucson. Of course, we've got our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. The podcast available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Let's go right now to our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, Terry Bracey. Terry has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Braun, and Valenzano, which represents, they have a couple of very important Southern Arizona clients, namely the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. It's summertime. It's a nice day, and life is good.
Well, and you follow baseball very closely, but it's kind of strange what's going on in the National League, isn't it?
It really is. A lot of surprises for me. Of course, the Dodgers are running away with the West, but all the other divisions are kind of stuck together. Everybody, having records slightly above or below 500, though you don't know whether it's mediocrity or they're just too many good players. and then you've got baseball turning into this game where pitchers are now throwing 95 and 100 miles an hour, and hitters are going up there swinging for the fences. More strikeouts than ever before in history. And we like to see the home runs, but I'm not sure people really like to see the strikeouts. How about you?
No, and I'll tell you that people really want to see a lot of points and runs scored. And I think that's one of the reasons that baseball lags a little bit in attendance and continues to, Terry Bracey.
I think it's a real problem, and I think they're going to have to deal with it. I remember the day where they had to lower the pitcher's mound because Bob Gibson of the Cardinals was striking out everybody he faced. He had like an earned run average of one. And they're going to have to do something to get the game more engaging. I love it, but that's the truth.
Yeah, and one more note about sports. You're a St. Louis guy. I'm sure you're very happy with the St. Louis Blues and their hockey team in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for them. You know, St. Louis is what would be called a minor market. It's not New York or Washington or whatever. But I think it's the greatest sports team in America. You may argue with Chicago, but yep. I really do. I think St. Louis, they fill every stadium. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great sports town. Terry, it's becoming very clear that the two houses of Congress are so divided on everything, almost everything. I don't know what they do agree on. Maybe you do, but right. President Trump just won't play ball. Where is this leading us, Terry Bracey?
Well, everything you said is obviously true. There seemed a moment when the president might work with Congress on a badly needed infrastructure bill. Good Lord, we need one, and it's evident everywhere. But the problem is that the Democrats are investigating and overseeing the various departments and criticizing the president. And he said as long as they do that, he just won't play ball with them. Well, they are the Congress, and he has to quit conflating his personal interests, his personal business, with the country's. You know, if you're against what Trump wants, you're against America. That's not how it works, but that's where we are now. And Bill, an even worse problem is cropping up.
Yeah, I think you're referring to the administration's attitude toward the courts in this country, correct?
Amen. I mean, ever since the president was able to get the Senate to confirm William Barr to succeed Jeff Sessions, I mean, look what's happened. The administration has undertaken really a bold offensive to undercut judges and the law itself. For example, Bill, I don't know if you read about this, but last week a senior federal judge ordered the release of Michael Flynn's tapes, and the Trump government opposed it, but they lost. And instead of saying, okay, we'll appeal that, they decided probably they'd lose on appeal, so they simply have refused to obey the judge. And this comes after time and a time ignoring proper subpoenas for documents and witnesses coming from legitimate authorities. Bill, we've talked about this, but the last time I've seen this kind of behavior was in the early days of the Watergate investigation.
And I thought we were supposed to be a nation of laws, Terry.
Well, that's what we are. I mean, America is a nation of laws. That's what distinguishes us from everybody else. So not everybody, but from many, many countries. And if I were in charge, Bill, if I were the speaker, whatever, I'd act on this immediately, even if it means impeachment. You know, the law being the core of America, you just can't let this go, this refusal to obey law and have it become a very common thing. People, the new normal, they say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, I don't know. People say it's a political tactic that the president wants to be impeached. Well,
right.
I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. But Congress has a duty to protect the Constitution.
Then there's this whole business with the threat of the imposition of immediate tariffs on Mexican products that could go as high as 25%. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's like declaring war on the American consumer. I mean, just look at us in Arizona. I mean, every year we do almost $8 billion in business selling our products to the neighbors in the South, and they sell us about the same amount back. I mean, it's a huge piece of the Arizona economy, 300,000 jobs in Arizona alone. So I see it as a reckless threat, but I can't believe, you know, Bill, that he'll actually do it. I wonder what others think. I mean, he takes credit for the stock market, whether he deserves it or not. And I mean, this single announcement has cut 1,000 points off the Dow.
Yeah, and luckily some of those points were back with us today on the Dow, but still it has played a big impact. And it's worth noting that Governor Ducey, who has admitted that we, of course, Mexico is our number one trading partner in Arizona, he still defends the president when it comes to these tariff threats, Terry Bracey.
Well, I'm of a different mind, but I respect the governor, and he can have his thoughts about that. But the idea of putting 5% and 25% tariffs on items from Mexico would absolutely devastate the state of Arizona, and the governor knows it.
How is this all going to play out, the key players on this? What's going to happen, in your opinion, Terry?
Getting back to the
impeachment possibilities.
Well, as I was saying, the chessboard, you have Trump, who's obviously, you have Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader McConnell, and they have been the central characters so far. They'll continue to be the central characters, but we've got a new one who's coming up, and that's Chief Justice Roberts. I think a lot of this is going to the courts, and I think at the end of the day, quite a lot's going to be in the hands of the Supreme Court, and I know everyone on my side of the party of the political spectrum, which is sort of moderate Democrat, we worry that court is so split for liberals, for conservatives, and a lot of people worry that Roberts is one of those conservatives to make the fifth. But in my view, I think Roberts is a very interesting man, and though conservative by nature, he is no means a partisan, and I think Roberts sees his role, and he's made it in speeches and so on, if you read him, that he wants to preserve the rule of law. He sees that as his job, to preserve the courts and so on. So I think Roberts may be the player of the next year.
Terry, I want your opinion real quickly here on the Democratic presidential race. Do you see any movement over the last month or so? I saw some polling, I think it was CNN, showing that Joe Biden had lost a little bit since his announcement, but perhaps That was to be expected. What are you hearing?
Well, yeah, and that's just one poll. I think the story is that that the candidates are amazed that Biden's popularity and his staying power continues, and he almost laps. Even if he's lost a few points, he almost laps the field, you know. And so, what's happened now in the last month is that Bernie Sanders and others are now in the attack mode, which I guess is unfortunate, but it's inevitable. You know, Bill, as they say, politics ain't beanbag.
That's for sure. Terry, we're going to have to let you go at this point. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, sir.
And fun to be on your show.
Thank you very much. Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs with us. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, serving now a hot breakfast. Every morning they open at 6:30, and they've got that grill all fired up and ready to go, and you can get everything from delicious pancakes, French toast, you can have your eggs, the hash browns, you name it, they can take care of you for breakfast. And right now, open for lunch at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. My website is BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link there at to Mona's and a link to all of our great sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman is next, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I'm well today, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Any day on a Tuesday, for sure, that the market shows this kind of movement, I'm really happy because it's kind of rare that we get a big movement, it seems. Anyway, just over the years, almost over 400 points up on a Tuesday, I'll take it.
Absolutely. The Tuesday curse
yes.
has been something that you can almost rely on.
I know, today, and it's been suspended for today,
there you
it
go.
Looks like. What's going on? What is this for?
Well, a couple of things are going on. The drop in May, which was precipitous, was a result of lots of things that created uncertainty. But at the very end, we had this announcement about a new trade war against Mexico, of all places. And that really spooked the market at the end of last week. What we're seeing now this week is some moderation in that the rigidity of that position. And what we're seeing is the market kind of grasping at straws, saying, look, we need some good news to keep up this ongoing upward slant of the line that, you know, the reduction line, the average line of where stocks are going.
Which we've been going up for many years.
Well, it's been going up now for 10 years.
10 years, there you go.
And the amount on average has been close to the average that we've seen over the past 50 or 60 years. It's about 11 or 12%. However, if you take a look at the 10 years from the end of the, not the end of the recession, but the low point of the Great Recession, we're up 300%.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a lot more than a 12% average. What we're seeing in the past 10 years is some really big movements to the upside and then a couple of movements to the downside, then big movements to the upside. I don't measure it from the low of 2009. You got to take a look at kind of where it was approximately before it took a header down. The market started off 2008 at around 12,000. And so we have now gone from 12,000 to about 24,000, 25,000. That's a doubling. So that's up about 100% over 10 years, about a 10, 11% gain, not counting that blip in the middle when it looked like the American economy was going to, you know, drop in the basket.
Are we headed for a recession?
We are. The question is when, and I don't know the answer to that that question. We will have a downturn. We're now 10 years into this expansion. The only other expansion in American history post-war that has been this robust and this long has been the expansion from 1992 to 2002. That was in effect a little healthier because we knew exactly why we were expanding that way. Here, the economic rules seem to have changed. All of a sudden, we're seeing expansion in GDP of, let's call it on average, between 2 and 3%, but we're not seeing any inflationary pressure. We're seeing large deficits in the budget, but we're not seeing inflationary pressure. We're seeing the Fed printing money, and we're not seeing inflationary pressure. So it causes us to kind of scratch our heads and say, well, you know, are all the laws of nature being reversed?
It is
here?
Odd about the inflation.
It really is. And so the things that would normally be used to control and then measure the controls that you put on the economy don't seem to be working. We have bonds going up at the same time stocks are going up. We have greater stratification in the economy so that right now, and I think we talked about this last week, the top 10% of earners in the U.S. now own 70% of the wealth in the U.S. And so even though unemployment is marvelously low, that unemployment is really split between the top earners and the bottom earners. What we're seeing in the middle is kind of a flat line where the middle class, lower and middle class, have not gained in the 30 years. Their income hasn't really gone up. They're still needing to work, several jobs. Some of these jobs are not quite full-time. Very often, those jobs are as either consultants or contractors, so they don't have the kind of benefits that they need that would normally go along with a full-time job. So the vast middle of the country is feeling uncertain despite the statistics. And, you know, the nice thing about statistics, if you've got your feet on a block of ice and your head in the oven, well, on average, you're feeling pretty good. Problem is, from the perception of your head or your feet, you're not good at all.
Now, what's all this about the Fed may lower the interest rates? And here you've just been talking about inflation not a factor.
Well, what the Fed has been signaling is that if the economy starts to slow down,
right,
that they won't hesitate to make adjustments in interest rates in order to stimulate the economy. The market always sees that as a positive sign, and that's really what's causing the spurt of buying today. Tomorrow might be a completely different story. Right now, the Fed chair has not said anything about an immediate increase. He simply said that even though we're not at an interest rate neutrality, which would really be in the 4-5% range, he's willing to use even the reduced number of arrows in his quiver to stimulate the market if he needs to.
There aren't that many arrows left in that quiver when you get down
That's
to
correct.
The 2-3%. Area.
Well, that's right. His ability to lower interest rates to stimulate the market. Remember, we're already significantly stimulating the economy by deficit spending. We're effectively rounding the numbers at $1 trillion a year for the next decade in deficit spending. So much so that we have now a new theory of economics and that says that modern money theory says that you can print all the money you want, or virtually all the money you need, and it won't raise inflation. Well, historically, that doesn't jive, but we see, for instance, when the Fed was printing money, at the rate of $1 billion a month or more, it had absolutely no effect on inflation. So classical economic theory seems to have kind of taken a rest on a side shelf, though to the extent that these theories are really rules of nature, not things that can change just because the climate changes, I think that we're going to see some effects of all of the things that are troubling in the economy. Deficits, trade deficits, budget deficits, middle class wages remaining stable, and on the low side, trade wars, instability in Europe and the rest of the world in terms of their ability to grow. We are now so intertwined that when China sneezes, we all get a cold.
Right.
We used to say when the U.S. sneezes, Europe gets a cold. Mm-hmm. Well, all of that is still true, but more so.
And I would think by the end of the year, we will be still pretty much in the same position.
I think so, Bill. I think we're going to end the year pretty much where we are right now, up at around 10% on most markets, with the economy having grown in the area of between 2-2.5%.
And with the markets still incredibly news sensitive.
Well, that's right. The volatility will remain.
This volatility.
Absolutely.
Just going this kind of roller coaster. Somebody tweeted this, somebody tweeted that, and the market reacts.
Yeah, I thought a couple of weeks ago that the market was getting smarter, that we were beginning to react less to what we heard on the news that morning. Mm-hmm. And I said so, I think, on your show last week and maybe on the John C. Scott show as well. And now I'm eating my words because, a couple of good words from the Fed chair and some encouragement from the Mexican trade delegation being sent up here, and all of a sudden we're up 400 points.
Yeah,
so
there you
go.
All right. Shelly Fishman, looking great. You're working out 2 hours a day. My gosh,
yeah,
you look terrific.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a young man.
Yeah, my goodness. Keep up the good work. Shelly, great to see you. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for an activity that's coming up, they've got the Wild Wild West Pro Rodeo. This is part of the rodeo circuit. It's a big deal, and it's a big event, June 12th through the 15th in Silver City, which is only a 3-hour drive approximately from the Tucson area, and I pretty much can guarantee you're going to have a good time. We send so many of our listeners over there. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the great listings of so many fine places to stay and all sorts of, whether it be rodeo or hiking or just kind of hanging out in historic Silver City. Lots to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show. We focus on your medication, how to take control of your health care. We call it Your Meds, and it features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley, former UA College of Medicine dean, he's founder and now president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley is also director of the Clinical Data Analysis and Decision Support at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. Dr. Woosley, I didn't realize till we had Dr. Robbins on the show last week, we're the only university that has like two medical schools in two major cities.
Right.
I didn't know that.
No, we we have that distinction, and we're turning out some really excellent students in both cities, and it's just something to be proud of, and I'm very proud to be affiliated with it.
Dr. Woosley's latest creation is the Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website, visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
You know, Americans love their vitamins. They take on average, 5 to 10 vitamins a day. This is a multi-billion dollar industry that pretty much is unregulated.
It is. And in 1994, it all started when a few congressmen who were heavily lobbied got a bill passed that said that the FDA doesn't regulate these products. If they're dietary supplements, the companies can market them without any research to see if they are safe and effective. And they can make claims that are medical-type claims. They promote health. And people, you know, the Credible Meds deals with medicines.
Yes.
Well, these aren't medicines, but they're treated and considered medicines. They're taken for medical purposes by people.
Mm-hmm.
So we follow them closely and with a great deal of fear, frankly, because of the way they're over-promoted for medical value, understudied. The manufacturing of these products is unregulated, uninspected. And every day I get an announcement from the FDA of some product that is flawed in some way in the dietary supplement world. And so I bring it up here with you occasionally because I think it's really important for the public to know that those billions they're taking on these vitamins mm-hmm. and minerals and dietary supplements, there's no evidence to show that they do anything good.
Probably the most popular of the dietary supplements is fish oil. 1 in 10 people in this country are taking fish oil supplements. How did all of this start?
Well, it began when people back in the 80s or even before noticed that the people in Scandinavia and a few other places around the world had very low instances of heart disease and stroke. And they looked at those populations and they said, well, maybe it's all that fish they're eating.
Yeah, they're eating fish.
And so then the laboratory people went to work and found that there were omega-3 fatty acids in fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they began associating that with good health. So people said, well, I'm not going to eat all that fish, so I'm going to take a pill.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to buy these pills at the health food stores and everywhere else that have fish oil in them. And that'll give us the protection from heart disease and stroke that I would have had if I'd eaten all that fish.
What's the medical evidence say about fish oil?
Zero.
Hmm.
There's one of the things after the law was passed that said these products were unregulated, the National Institutes of Health said, well, we should start studying them and we should do the right studies. And now millions and millions of dollars have been spent on research, and every study after study shows no benefit from fish oil or vitamins and minerals in general. And I know that's shocking to the public.
It is.
But there is no evidence that they do anything good, and there's a great deal of evidence that they can harm certain people.
Didn't the American Heart Association recommend fish oil?
Well, they did and they didn't. They said doctors should consider using fish oil for their patients who had a prior myocardial infarction. But the evidence over and over, the National Healthcare Prevention Agency for the nation, who follows these prevention efforts, concludes that the evidence just isn't there.
Is there something we do know that can prevent heart disease that works?
We do.
And what is that?
And in fact, that's probably why these fish oil things don't work, is because it's such a small part of the risk. And the other things are much bigger, like smoking. If you can stop smoking, you will do more than anything your diet could ever ask for. Controlling high blood pressure. You know, those are the big causes of heart disease today. Exercise, getting more exercise. Obesity is a major drain on our health. And, of course, it's your genes, but you can't control that.
No.
So we do need to focus on those things and don't that you can do to help. And don't look at a pill and say, there's the answer. I don't have to do anything else except pop this in my mouth, pay a few $100 a month, which is not out of the question.
Some people spend up to $500 a month just on vitamins.
On vitamins alone.
Let's go to... I believe we have Roberta on the line, and she is a big advocate, I believe, of health food, health supplements. Go ahead, Roberta.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, doctor, 35 years ago, I was told by 6 doctors I had less than a year to live because my body can't process toxins, and medications are full of toxins. And the incipient ingredients as well as the active ingredients. And I studied natural health and homeopathy and herbs and supplements, and I take very specialized ones, and I've kept myself alive for 35 years with the help of the education I received from doctors and who understand natural health, who have studied.
All right.
They don't study it in medical school, maybe a couple hours, that's all. They don't know anything about it, so they don't know how to use it and prescribe it. And I've been told that fish oil is a great anti-inflammatory.
Okay, Roberta, a vote from Roberta there for fish oil, Dr. Woosley.
Well, I'm sure, and there are millions of people who would agree with Roberta.
Yeah.
But the evidence just doesn't support it, and I'm really glad you've had good health and improved health from what you're doing. But I have to tell you that these products are unregulated. There's no evidence that they really help you. And they do have, in many instances, examples of harm. I just this week got another announcement that some of the dietary supplements that contain the chemical is vincopacetine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's periwinkle. And people are taking periwinkle extract and vinca alkaloid extracts to get more energy and to lose weight. And they found that these are causing birth defects. And if you're pregnant and taking those products, you could have birth defects or miscarriages. And there's no evidence that those products do any good. And there's clear evidence that they can cause harm. Mm. So, Roberta, I'm so sorry that we disagree, but I really must say that doctors who look at the evidence, who are objective, who aren't consultants for the industry, really have objectively concluded, and it's like climate change. There are people who benefit by the false information, and they're trying to sell you something when they are promoting these products when the evidence says no.
Generally, though, we talked about fish oil. Are there some vitamins that you would recommend?
Not really, unless you have a vitamin deficiency. If you can't eat a normal diet or don't,
sure.
Unless you have a metabolic disorder, vitamins aren't needed because the normal diet contains all of the vitamins you need. But the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force looked at the evidence for vitamin C, B, which would be folic acid, B6 and B12, beta carotene, the carrot vitamin. And they found no evidence after thousands and thousands of people were studied with these products, these vitamins. There was no benefit to their health.
What about the placebo effect of all of this?
Well, there is a placebo effect, and people, just because they can take a totally inert sugar pill, and their brain centers will light up, indicating that they're getting some sensation in their brain that they're going to get better. And so some people do, but it doesn't mean that you should take a product that hasn't been tested for effectiveness and could be toxic and be contaminated with heavy metals, glass shards. I mean, these are all evidently reports that have occurred with these products because the plants where they're made aren't inspected by the FDA.
And again, that health warning was, what was the product if folks are just joining us, the supplement that there is a warning on?
It's vincopacetine, vincopacetine, but it's the dietary.
How is it marketed?
It's marketed as a dietary supplement that contains periwinkle,
mm-hmm.
periwinkle extract, or vinca products.
Okay, All right, Dr. Woosley, good information. We appreciate what you're doing at Credible Meds. And again, for our listeners, how does Credible Meds work?
It's free to the public. It's available at just Google Credible Meds, and you'll be brought to our website. We have a portal for the patients, one for healthcare providers, and another one for researchers. So find the one that has the information you want. It's the best information we can find about your medicines and also how to use them and how to interact with your pharmacist, your doctor, what questions to ask when you're taking your medicines. And we try to address those issues based on the evidence that's available.
All right.
We take no funding from any commercial source, so we try to be independent.
All right, Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. CredibleMeds.org. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up next, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Bob Hendricks with us, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. And we're going to be talking about, is it time for phone-free schools? Students need, do they need all that distraction of the phones? Maybe the phone should be kept at the front door when they come into school. We'll talk about that right after this on Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you a business who wants to make a difference in children's education without it costing a single penny? IBE, a school tuition organization, wants you to know about the Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Talk to your accountant today. For two decades, IBE has made it simple for corporate donors, working with over 290 schools. IBE awards 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, one of our great sponsors now. It's a destination in itself. 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They have Zocalo now. It's actually Zocalo Village. Five shops devoted to just wonderfully handcrafted merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, Europe. So check out Zocalo Village the next time you go by Green Things to buy all of your gardening supplies and your wonderful plants, and then check out Zocalo while you're there. Let's go now on the live line to join our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District and one time named Arizona top school superintendent. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. If you ask a teacher, Bob Hendricks, what's the biggest distraction for kids and teens today? I have a feeling I know the answer, and that would probably be smartphones.
You do know the answer. It absolutely is. It is number one, probably number one through number 10. You know, there's opinions all over the board on this issue, but I think most teachers will tell you that it really has presented a major wrinkle in their efforts to teach effectively in the classroom. And so, you know, really, you know, opinions are all over the board on this. And in fact, California has a bill currently in the legislature to ban cell phones completely in schools. But I think the reality is that in today's precarious environment, you know, I think most people would agree that cell phones are an issue for safety and security. And so there's really not much disagreement that students ought to be able to possess cell phones, you know, in a school environment or wherever they might travel. But that's about where the agreement stops, because some schools would like to ban cell phones completely. Some would like to ban them just in the classroom. And some would like to see it completely removed from, you know, the lunchroom, the passing hallways. It's all kinds of directions and opinions on this thing.
There is an opinion, and it actually has now been instituted into law in the country of France. The policy restricts or bans cell phones in classrooms, and I think in school districts across Wisconsin as well, correct?
Hello?
Yeah, is that right?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Did we?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Oh, okay.
Here.
What I was saying, Bob Hendricks, that in France, they've already taken the step of going ahead and banning cell phones in classrooms and school districts in Wisconsin as well.
Right, and I think, you know, part of the issue with local school districts is where can the phones be kept? And I think a lot of districts have looked at the idea that it's okay for students to have a cell phone, but they must keep it in their backpack during the day. There's been some idea that maybe they should be checked at the door, or, you know, there's all kinds of logistical problems with those kinds of issues. But I think generally the discussions that I've been part of, people have talked about, well, students can have them, but they have to keep them out of sight and with limited access, because they are a major distraction during the day. And, you know, students, you know, will use them if they can. And I had the opportunity when I was at the University of Arizona to attend and monitor some large lecture hall discussions. And you'd be surprised the number of students that during that lecture, you know, even within sight of the professor, using their phone to check sports scores or to text, or even watch their favorite show on a video. I mean, it's pretty blatant. It's pretty blatant. And I also would say that, you know, we've talked before about cheating and plagiarism, and this has become a more prevalent problem with cell phone, is that it can be used very discreetly to check information, to check answers, to actually, you know, it's the new technical way to crypt notes. You just keep those things in your little screen and you can check it. So, you know, that's another issue that faculty members have. So I think, you know, at the very least, banning cell phones in the classroom by policy would certainly help teachers so that they don't feel that they're out there individually being consistent or inconsistent with other faculty members as to whether you can have your phone out or not. Now, there is an argument that there sometimes is a place for the cell phone instructionally in the classroom. And so the argument would be, you know, if the professor or if the teacher felt that there was an appropriate use of the cell phone, then students could take them out. For example, using the cell phone as a calculator or using it to document video and experiment or something of that nature, that would be appropriate. Or perhaps some students who have disabilities might need a cell phone to assist them with their learning. But generally speaking, that would be on a case-by-case basis that the teacher would do that.
I was just going to say, I wonder, Bob Hendricks, these school districts in Wisconsin, and I don't know about France, but I wonder if it's just you can bring the cell phone to school, but it must be like in a backpack and turned off or something like that.
I believe so, or at least maybe not turned off, but at least put on airplane mode or something.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, if there was a way that you had to access it in the case of an emergency,
right,
you could. Another interesting thing is school districts that have talked about banning it outright, they have said that, you know, what a pleasure it would be in the lunchroom, for example, if students could actually have, you know, face-to-face discussions and not everybody would be on their phone. And that's a little bit of a, you know, social engineering. I mean, one thing, the idea of instruction is one thing. The idea of the lunchroom, the passing periods, all of those things, you know, it's an interesting idea. Unfortunately, it's going to require people that are going to have to monitor it. And that becomes a real logistical nightmare for instructors to have people, you know, checking the lunchroom, checking the hallways, all of those kinds of things. But it is, you know, it is an interesting idea because, you know, we see it every day, you know, people going out to dinner, not talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're just looking at their cell phone or people walking across the crosswalk,
right,
you know, on a busy street,
yeah,
not looking up, not making eye contact. So the idea of a lunchroom,
yeah,
where students actually were talking to each other and weren't texting or, you know, looking at their phone in that way would make a real interesting difference.
Bob Hendricks, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Interesting topic.
Thanks,
Bill.
Thanks. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Bob Dio, engineer producer. Have a great afternoon, everybody.